From the Lynn to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of April 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Fakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then a bit later in the program, we'll look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, Dave Dickey will have an update of today's agricultural news. And we'll check the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson Climbers facility that's in Logansport, Indiana, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago, where the May contract in the wheat futures at $6.69 and a quarter finished 16 cents lower. July at $6.75, down 15, and September at $6.83 and a quarter, down 14 and a half cents. December, $6.95 and a half, 13 and three quarters lower. And the May of next year at $7.09 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. The hard red in the July at $7.42 and a quarter was down 13 and three quarters. May corn futures at $4.95 and three quarters, 11 and three quarters lower. July at $5.01, down 11 and a half. And September, $4.98 and a half, down a dime. December at $4.97, 8 and a half cents lower. The March at $5.04 and a quarter, down eight. And July of next year at $5.12 and a half, 6 and a quarter lower. May soybeans at $14.62 and a quarter, down 22 and a quarter. July at $14.41 and a quarter, down 16 cents. And August, $13.64 and a quarter, down 16. November beans, $11.98, down 9 and a quarter. In January, $12.02 and three quarters of a cent, 9 and a quarter cents lower. Bean meal futures at $4.76.50, down 6.20. Bean oil, 464.10, that's down 5.30 in the July. Checking now the numbers as they came from the CME Group and the livestock. June futures at $136.77 and a half, 30 cents higher. August at $134.47 and a half. That finished up 50. April feeders at $177.22 and a half, up 77 and a half cents. In the May at $177.97 and a half, $1.20 higher. And lean hogs in the April contract, $127 even, down 80 cents. May futures, $125.75, 25 cents higher. June futures at $124.80, down $2.80. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, May contract $99.67 a barrel. That's 7 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline at $2.86 and 8 cents, a penny, or rather a tenth of a cent lower for the day. And ethanol futures at $3.20, 31 and 7 tenths of a cent lower. Natural gas at $4.36 and 6 cents, up 9 cents. Diesel fuel at $2.87 and a tenth. That's a penny and 6 tenths of a 6 tenths lower for the day. And gold futures at $1,290.70. $10.80 higher. The U.S. dollar trading 80.21 is up 0.13. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Occasional showers. It's been raining here in Urbana-Champaign. Possibly a thunderstorm. A high of 53 degrees, 47 outside the studios now. On an east wind at 10 to 14 miles an hour, that gusts to 18. Chance of rainfall in the area is set at 80%. Occasional showers, a few thunderstorms yet this afternoon into the evening hours. That'll transfer into storms that could produce heavy rainfall. Low of about 49 degrees tonight. East winds at 11 to 14. Chance of rainfall at 90%. And then tomorrow, occasional showers, a thunderstorm or two. Some of the storms could, again, produce heavy rainfall. A high of 66 degrees on a southeast-east wind at 5 to 9 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall tomorrow during the day at 80%. Tomorrow evening, showers, thunderstorms. Some of those storms could be severe. A low of 49 degrees and chance of rainfall tomorrow evening or Thursday at 80%. And Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 51 degrees. It'll be breezy with a west-southwest wind at 17 to 26 miles an hour, just a 30% chance of rainfall on Friday. Mostly cloudy Friday evening at a low of 32. No rain in the forecast there. And then sunny skies on Saturday and a high of 51. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this second day of April 2014. On the phone line is Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good way, great afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, same to you, Todd.
Well, I take it farmers are probably anxious but not too terribly worried at the moment. They'd prefer to get a little rainfall, is my guess, and get a nice soaking into the ground before they get started for the year.
Well, that's what I've been hearing all day today. You know, they're not thrilled about the fact that it's dreary and miserable outside, but they recognize, you know, that we need the rain. Rain helps bring the frost up out of the ground. And, you know, when it comes to everybody being so concerned about late planting, I think the trade probably is more concerned about it than the farmer is, because if we get those tractors rolling in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I think the late planting premium is going to be gone. I cannot believe that the trade doesn't actually remember last year we put 43% of this crop in the ground, you know, just in 1 week. So it'll be interesting. I know that they're chomping at the bit. Let's put it that way.
Well, you've got some interesting numbers. I always like to talk to you after reports because you look at some things that others don't that come out of the USDA and the agency reports there from NASS. What kinds of things did you find of most interest in the prospective plantings report this time around?
Well, you know, Todd, so many times people get hung up on an individual number that the USDA publishes, and that's the average number, basically, is what it is. So I went back and looked, and there's a 3.2% deviation on this March 31st report. What does that mean? That means we could be as low as 88.8 million acres on corn or as high as 94.6. You know, that there's that much question about what the farmer is really going to do, and the reason that it is that way is because of weather, and weather is the determining factor. Now, over the last 20 years, from the March 31st report to the final acreage number, on average, it's changed 1.12 million acres, either up or down. And the largest that we've ever seen in 20 years is a 3.8 million acre shift. That has to be because of weather. On beans, it's 3.5% deviation, 78.6 on the low end, 84.4 on the high end. And there the average change is almost the same as corn is. It's closer to 1.2 million acres either way, and the largest we've ever seen is 3.3 million. So wheat, average change 1.5 million over all classes. The largest in 20 years, 4.8 million. And you know that everything that we're looking at right here is saying, as we get into the planting season, you know, whatever the weather situation is dictates the way that we go.
Right. And so if that dictates the way that we go, once we get into the planting, oftentimes the trade will look forward into the numbers, meaning the charts, to try to get an idea of what the dictate of the weather or any other fundamental item might be. And there are some interesting things, I think, in the charts that you might want to point out and talk about. For instance, if you look at the May contract in the corn on the charts, It's a weekly outside, yet to be determined, I suppose, whether this is an up or down week.
Right. Yeah, there's absolutely no question. And I think, you know, when you look at the close today, the only way that I could describe, I guess, anything is fickle funds. You know, the funds were all hot and bothered about the corn and beans and the fact that we came in at relatively really supportive stocks on old crop corn and, you know, tight stocks on beans. And look where we are today. Today they're talking about bigger crops in South America, more availability, you know, the fact that we're up here at these price levels and will exports continue to be good. And so I felt that the $5 level from a, you know, just from a psychological standpoint was a very important spot. And we didn't manage to close above it. So tomorrow's and tonight's trade is going to be indicative of the direction for tomorrow. And, you know, it's in so many ways. When you look at the May contract, you know, we went down and we tested the 10-day moving average today. We have support there, you know, down at that 490 level. The support below that is not very far away at 488, which is the 20-day. But then once you get past that, you're all the way down into the 470s. And so, you know, the other thing a guy needs to look at is key reversals and whether, well, we can all argue about whether a key reversal is really a key reversal or not, but whether it's valid in the environment that we're in anymore. But it looks like we have the potential for a bearish key reversal. You know, we had a double top on December at 508.25 yesterday. It held today. And, you know, double tops often hold. So we also saw some farmer selling pickup. Ethanol production was up, which is a good thing, but we still need to grind 98.3 million bushels a week just to make the USDA's projection. So, you know, we've got a USDA report coming out on the 9th, and everybody's going to be looking at that to see whether or not we see any drop in feed usage because the increases in price, any change in the export number, any change in the ethanol number. And so I think what the bottom line is we've been given a great opportunity to be able to lock in some better prices than what we were looking at. And that's the way it's got to be viewed. It can't be viewed any other way. Risk management, it's not about worrying whether it's going to go a lot higher. It's worrying about how low it's going to go and how much it's going to hurt you if it does that.
Yeah, but, oh, Jackie, everybody will be feeling much better about this marketplace, thinking, hey, wait a second, we can go higher, and I'm going to wait that one out. They already waited it out once. I'm pretty sure they're not going to feel as if they need to make a sale. You're telling me that they do.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm not necessarily saying you need to make a cash sale, although I did hear guys that got picked up on hedge to arrive that were in since last September yesterday. What I'm saying is you have to sit down and look at it. There's nothing wrong with making some cash sales at this point. If you don't want to make a cash sale and this is a level that you can make some money at, put a put in place. Do something. Just don't, you know, reward the rally that we've just had because it's a significant rally. And without the Ukraine and Russia, I'm not certain we'd be here.
Do you want to look forward into the new crop for both beans and corn and then say, and you've talked about this before in terms of protecting a gain above the crop insurance, and do you want to protect any of that at this point?
Well, that's what I've been talking to a lot of guys about today, you know, is that we've got a significant number here. You know, when you're at $5, you're about 40 cents. You're not quite 40 cents above it. Why wouldn't you take advantage of protecting that? It to me, it's common sense. You know, you can only get rewarded so many times. I guess from a risk management standpoint, Todd, when you're looking at corn and you're looking at beans, you have to be saying, yeah, we got crummy weather right now. It's cold. What if this weather turns decent and we have a normal year and a relatively good crop? Where are we at? And then when you look from the report, you know, 1.3 million acres shifted from North Dakota to South Dakota from corn to beans. Well, you know, that could raise our average yield. In other words, if we pick up acres, it's unlikely we're going to pick them up there. We'll probably pick them up somewhere else that has a better yield because they have such a low yield, 110 in North Dakota, 138 in South Dakota. And at the same time, we could end up with a lower bean yield because they've shifted to beans and most of their beans only produce about 30 bushels. So you just can't outguess the market. It's not a wise thing to do. And I think the worst thing is it takes your stomach and just ties it up in knots, and suddenly you can't make a decision because you're terrified. And that, you know, controlling emotion is really what it's about. If you have a put in place and you've put something there and you know you've protected your bottom line, who cares if the market goes higher? That's wonderful. If the market goes lower, you still sleep at night.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. We do appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report, your director of agricultural programming. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the afternoon and all of the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate Finance Committee will consider reinstating tax incentives for 2 years for biodiesel and other advanced biofuels in a markup scheduled for tomorrow. The committee released a description on Tuesday that includes 4 biofuel-related extensions of credits that expired December 31st of last year that would be retroactive to the start of this year and extended for 2 years. Among them, the incentives for biodiesel and renewable diesel, which provide a $1 per gallon tax credit, and the alternative fuel and alternative fuel mixtures incentive, which provides 2 cents per gallon for alternative fuels. Orders to U.S. factories rose in February after 2 months of declines. The Commerce Department says factory orders rose 1.6% in February, the most in 5 months. But demand for core capital goods, considered a good guide to business investment plans, fell 1.4% in February, the second decline in 3 months. Mato Grosso's Agricultural Economy Institute says Brazil's number one grain state will see corn production decline 32% this season due to a falling planted area and intense rains that fell on the crop during planting. IMEA says that the current corn crop in Mato Grosso will produce 15.2 million metric tons, representing an 11% reduction on its previous estimate. Mato Grosso produces just under half of the Brazilian second corn crop. Meanwhile, AgriConsult today says that declining soybean prices amid rising costs will cause the pace of Brazilian soybean area expansion to slow in 2014-15. Much depends on the behavior of soybean prices over the next quarter, but AgriConsult expects 2014-15 soybean area to grow 1 million hectares, that's 2.5 million acres, or 3%. The chief reason farmers will rein in expansion plans is the prospect of soybeans falling below $12 per bushel, but also of concern are rising costs. The cost of producing soybeans on an acre of land in Mato Grosso rose on average 12% this year, reaching $267. The jump was primarily driven by chemical costs as farmers fight to control rising caterpillar populations and ever more aggressive fungus attacks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you haven't seen or don't remember those numbers from Monday and you'd like to get a better look at them, you can always hit the USDA Reports link over on the right-hand side of the page. It's a great resource in a simple-to-use and consume form. Our USDA Reports page at willag.org. Hit the link over on the right-hand side of the page. While you're there at willag.org, don't forget to check out all of our daily agricultural programming and some of our more recent stories there at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, up next, up until about 20 minutes until the hour of 2 o'clock, that'd be about 50 minutes ago, I was busy with some undergraduate students here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, doing some radio interviews with them. Last week, they traveled along with John Shull to Washington, D.C. to learn a bit more about how policy is developed in agricultural policy in specific. Melissa Dong was along. She's from right here in Champaign, and I had a short discussion with her. So you made the trip to Washington, D.C. What'd you learn that you thought was really interesting?
I guess for me, I didn't realize like how involved ag was. I always kind of looked at it more of like an international aspect of it, and I never really looked at like the domestic side of it, you know, how much it went into it. You know, we met the people from the Senate and the House, the USDA. Kind of like it's very bipartisan, and I thought that was very interesting. I learned a lot about the Farm Bill, kind of like the history of the Farm Bill and how like it came to be. I thought that was like something I didn't know about. So
tell me about the bipartisanship, and because they must have talked to you a little bit more, a lot about how bipartisan Farm Bill development was compared to the rest of Congress.
Oh, yes. So with the Farm Bill, they actually, so within the Senate, they had the Ag Committee, and a lot of it was both the Republicans and Democrats actually kind of like not looking at their party, but more so like of the issue of itself. So they talked a lot and they kind of like put their party differences aside. The ag chair, Debbie Stabenow, she was the one that discussed how like it was very much more of like, let's get this done, let's work together. And they actually had less disagreements than the House did, because the House was much more like Democratic, Republican, you know, liberal, conservative, whereas the Senate was really all about getting things done with the farm bill. So they had a lot of meetings where they're like, oh, it would go through like the weekend. Sometimes, you know, we would stay late at night up to like 5 a.m. So it was a very like just working together, trying to get it done. So I thought that was really neat.
It was collegial, it sounds to me. Mm-hmm. And it sounds, because I think you met a lot of young people that were working on this, that it was pizza, maybe not beer, but pizza overnighters, right?
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, I'm sure they had a lot of like Chinese food probably coming in there, like late nights. So.
And that, of course, is Melissa Dong. She's from right here in Champaign, Illinois, and goes to the University of Illinois. Spent last week in Washington, D.C. with John Shaw. I had a chance to talk with her and several of her classmates as they just arrived back from D.C. in spring break. Kind of an interesting way to spend spring break if you have kids that happen to be in school or have some that are headed off to college. Make sure that they take spring breaks and other types of time to spend outside of the university system so that they go on learning and experiential learning, because it does make a big difference in how they view their lives.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You know, the folks from the Andersons in Logansport, Indiana, should be on the line this afternoon to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you. Who do I have the pleasure to speak with?
Good afternoon, and you get Tara today.
Well, hi, Tara. Oliver, how are you? Tell me about cash grain movement in your area. Ethanol plants have had some problems. Are you having any problems with yours?
No, we actually have seen very significant movement here, especially post-USDA report. We've seen a lot of nearby cash selling, and with the weather issues that we're going to have this month, I think that's certainly enticing people to keep the trucks moving while the weather gets better and take advantage of the $5 cash prices while they're around.
And trucks are moving, bringing corn into you. How about on the way out? Do you do rail or truck or both?
Certainly seeing a lot of inbound corn move by truck, absolutely. We do rail out some of our products like ethanol and distillers. As far as rail movement on the corn side of things at our facility in Delphi, we are still seeing some movement as far as the rail market still being a very plausible market today.
And which contract are you based off of? May, I'm assuming, at this point.
Yeah, we're still based off of May. Basis is certainly starting to feel a weaker tone in our marketplace. There's just been a significant amount of grain sold and moving here at the early part of this week especially, and so starting to feel some coverage getting met here for the nearby term anyways. It still feels like some of the deferred months into summer, obviously a lot more coverage to still attain there, but everybody's going to keep pushing it as hard as they can while margins are certainly good.
And Tara, your bids for the day.
Cash price into Delphi tonight is 482. Into Climbers, we're 486. And beans into Delphi are 1477.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Tara Oliver. She's at the Andersons Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. You can hear her again in all of our agricultural programming. In fact, on our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the weather forecast.
It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. There does not seem to be any references to PBJs before 1940. But in World War II, soldiers were given rations of both peanut butter and jelly. When the war was over and GIs returned to the States, sales of peanut butter and jelly soared. By the way, the first known cookbook that contains recipes for fruit preserves was written in 14 AD. Peanut butter was invented in 1890, almost 1900 years later. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, the periodical American Farmer was founded by John Skinner.
begun as a weekly in Baltimore. The stated purpose of the periodical was to collect information from every source on every branch of husbandry. Skinner edited American Farmer for a decade before selling the magazine in 1830. By the way, the earliest issues also included a sports column, often focusing on horses and hounds. In 1863, the Richmond Bread Riots broke out. Shortages of food caused hundreds of angry women to march on Richmond, Virginia, and then on the governor's office, and then on the government commissary. It ended in a riot when they broke into the commissary and then other shops and buildings and carried out anything they could carry. Even the hospital reported losing over 300 pounds of beef. In 1872, George Brayton received a patent for the U.S. commercial gasoline engine. Its principle of continuous ignition later became the basis for the turbine engine. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line. Drew Lerner at World Weather in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for being with us. Farmers have been anxious to get into the field. A few have been moving, though some have been stopped by rainfall that's making its way across the middle part of the country. Can you tell me about it, please?
Yeah, it does look as though we're going to be on hold here for a while for field work there. Will be a 2 or 3 day period here with frequent shower and thunderstorm activity moving across portions of the Midwest. It's not going to be raining everywhere every day, but over the next 3 days, everybody will be impacted. And some of the greater amounts are going to be in the Ohio River Basin area. We'll probably end up seeing some 1 to 2.5 inch amounts by the time we get to Saturday morning. So that's too much moisture. We're not too bad right now, but you add that to the moisture we do have in the soil, and the ground's going to be pretty saturated for a little while. Those soil temperatures are just now beginning to flirt with the germination level. So as we warm up the next day or two, we'll probably get to that point, but we won't be able to get into the fields to take advantage of it. It will cool down a little bit this weekend and cool again earlier next week, and that will probably be a little bit more significant. So it's not quite time yet for us to put seed in the ground, according to someone else's plans, it looks like. So we'll look at the second week of April, and right now that looks to be fairly good at the moment, that we will see some warmer temperatures in the second half of next week and maybe a little less precipitation for a brief period of time. That should help get us set up for at least a little bit of field work at that point.
That's for the middle part of the country. We have wheat that should be coming out of dormancy in other parts of the country. Can you tell me about growing conditions, please?
Absolutely. The Southwest Plains, of course, is the dry pocket that has been there for quite a long time, and we just can't get any moisture to fall in some of that area. And as long as that continues to be the case, the crop is going to stay stressed in those unirrigated fields. Temperatures yesterday afternoon were in the 60s and 70s across the central or south, we'll call it the central plains, I guess, but it was in the 70s and lower 80s in parts of Texas and southern Oklahoma. And so that's too much heat when you don't have any moisture in the ground and too much evaporation taking place. So the bottom line is we're probably looking at some further deterioration in crop condition across some of that region. We will see some shower and thunderstorm activity impacting some hard red winter wheat areas, but at this point I don't think we're going to get a good soaking in the areas that need it most, certainly not in the next 7 days. Maybe sometime around the 11th or 12th of April we will see an opportunity for some rain of significance to fall, but it's too far out in time to have a lot of confidence.
Chinese producers, like those farmers in the United States, are looking forward to their growing season. How are conditions setting up there?
Well, they are actually in very good shape. They're off and running. Their corn planting is already well underway across some of the southern production areas. They had some very well-timed precipitation during the winter, and even in the past couple of weeks, it has rained periodically. They've seen temperatures rise up into the point where they're getting into the 70s Fahrenheit on a regular basis with some lower 80s once in a while. And that's really a very good environment. It's what we should be seeing across some of our deep south right now, and we're just now getting to that point. So China's going to be a bit ahead of us. Their wheat crop over there is looking very good. Their rapeseed crop is looking very good as well. And they should have some very big yields coming out of the winter crop areas. And it looks like the corn's going to get off to a good start as well.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Drew.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.